Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Milwaukee's history of being a manufacturing hub has gone hand in hand with a long history of unions. But unions have impacted workspaces that go far beyond manufacturing, and the coronavirus pandemic has highlighted unsustainable practices in the workplace. Workers at the Milwaukee Art Museum recently made public their efforts to unionize, although their unionization campaign started back in December. They cite pay disparities, a lack of diversity in management positions, and, quote, a culture of privilege among their reasonings for organizing. To find out more about what art museum workers are seeking to change, I'm joined by Scott Parr. He's the Assistant Directing Business Representative for District 10 of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, or IAM. He begins by explaining what kind of groundwork goes into forming a union.
Same groundwork as any organizing campaign, trying to find out the employees that work at the art museum that would be included under a union contract if they're successful in organizing a union for themselves there, figuring out the best way to reach people. Normally we go door to door and knock on doors and talk to people face to face, but certainly this pandemic has changed that strategy for us.
Definitely. And on the note of the COVID-19 pandemic, has that affected either the demands workers are making or rather the timeline in which they're organizing?
Again, it makes it a lot harder not being able to go door to door, go face to face. We had set up both at the union office and at Zeidler Square where people could just stop in and talk with us. A lot of social media communications with people, trying to find out their interests and what their issues are, why they really want to start a union for themselves there.
Do you believe the changing work environment that the pandemic has, certainly emphasized or created changes, has brought to light not just job security concerns, but workplace culture as a whole?
I believe it definitely has. This group had a lot of issues before the pandemic started. They've always asked for fairness in wages, in benefits, having a seat at the table to have a voice that's actually heard by the art museum management. People that were hired 4 years ago, hire in at $10 an hour. And after they get a promotion and a wage increases, they're at $11 an hour. And these are people who absolutely love working at the art museum, but they just can't support themselves. Most of them aren't even offered health care, and those that are offered just can't afford it anymore. There's an old saying that goes, you can't live on love alone. And that's absolutely what these people are feeling. They're feeling underappreciated for the work they perform at the museum. Unfortunately, the pandemic brought up a lack of concern by the art museum as to length of service, how long an employee has been working at the art museum. For example, a 20-year employee was furloughed and a one-year employee was kept, even though they were exact same job classification with the exact same skills. Again, something visibly unfair about that. And that was brought to the forefront very quickly.
Do you know or are aware of approximately how many workers have been furloughed or laid off since the start of the pandemic? I understand the Art Museum did receive some relief from the PP program. How did this impact their workers directly immediately following that?
They were able to keep their furloughed workers on payroll, even though it was not full pay. And we thank them for doing that. We appreciate the fact that they did do that. What they did do in addition to that was tell their furloughed employees that they should not apply for unemployment because they would not qualify. Unfortunately, most of their furloughed employees listened to that advice. Those that spoke with us, we told them go ahead and apply. With the CARES Act, things are so much different. And all the people who applied for unemployment got their unemployment. So I wish the art museum had not given them that advice. That was bad advice.
Part of a union is, of course, being able to represent and share information with workers. You mentioned some things previous, such as fair pay, being able to afford health insurance. What are the main goals of the organizers for a union at the art museum?
Fairness in their pay, in their benefits, specifically affordable health care, having a seat at the table to help increase diversity at the art museum, including some of the upper level positions. And I'm asked this question a lot, how can a union affect that? And my answer to that is always, well, we have in a lot of our union contracts, union folks that sit on those hiring and interview committees, and we help make those decisions. And these people that are trying to start this union really want to partner with the museum. Again, they love where they work. They want to make it a better place to work.
So having social justice components in a union contract is not something that is unique in your experience?
It is not. I've been doing this 25 years, and we've always done that. I know the art museum has told their employees that we can't have a say about that in a union contract, and that's simply not true. We can.
In addition to hiring practices and representation within the workforce, there's also wanting for improvements in the Milwaukee Art Museum's traveling art education programs, correct?
That is correct. They believe they're not serving the neighborhoods that they were created to serve, which is closer to the city of Milwaukee as opposed to going further out.
So you mentioned the people who are wanting to form a union want to work with the art museum, and a relationship with the museum and IAM has been established with their security guard union. So do you think this previous relationship will bode well in establishing a union for other art museum employees?
We're hoping it does. I've personally had that contract for over 20 years. We have a very good relationship with the art museum, never had any labor troubles there. We recently ratified a new 3-year contract for the security guards, and that helped drive this organizing drive for everybody else to say, what's wrong with us having those same guarantees in writing?
So you mentioned everybody else. What other jobs are at the art museum? You mentioned you rep the security guards. What other workers would this new union impact and be able to form?
It runs the gamut from visitor operations to food and beverage to maintenance to the curatorial side of things. We're looking to represent all professional and non-professional employees at the art museum. It's about 152 employees.
And does unionization efforts, is that limited to full-time workers, or are part-time employees also able to take part?
We are filing for all full and part-time employees. Part-time employees have a big problem there. When you're a part-time employee at the art museum, you do not qualify for benefits. So a lot of people are categorized as part-time, but they're clocking in 40 hours a week. That's something that is not fair. So absolutely part-time is going to be a part of this.
So has organizing in art institutions been commonplace? You know, Milwaukee has a long history of unions, but we often think of that along with its history as a manufacturing hub and not necessarily with museums and cultural institutions.
It is. It's always been thought of as manufacturing. Out of District 10, we represent foot clinics where we have the medical transcriptionists, the medical assistants. We've really broadened our scope into nursing home representation and also other professional areas. Anytime somebody comes to us and says they want to help start a union at their place of employment because they think things are not fair, we're there to help them do that.
What would you say to people in addressing common misconceptions about unions? You mentioned you see this as manufacturing, and people might not put art museum employees along with an International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, you know. So how do you break it down for people who aren't really familiar with what they do?
The easiest thing I can tell them is look at the agreement, the union contract we have with the art museum concerning the guards. They have good health care. They have guaranteed wage increases. They have a defined benefit pension. The art museum will never negotiate a contract that puts them at a competitive disadvantage, and they wouldn't do that with the new group that is forming now.
So in terms of protocols and progress, where are unionization efforts currently, and what are the next steps for the Milwaukee Art Museum workers?
We had asked the art museum for voluntary recognition. And what that is, normally we have a person from the clergy and we meet somewhere, usually a neutral offsite place. We show that clergy person all of our signed cards. The company provides a list of eligible employees, and that clergy person says, yes, they have a majority of interest, or no, they don't. Unfortunately, the art museum told us they would not give us voluntary recognition. They said they want everyone to have a voice. Our position is a majority have already said they wanted a union. Don't take these people through this battle that may last 45 to 60 days. They've already spoken. Since they told us that, we have filed a petition with the National Labor Relations Board. The company has hired an outside law firm to handle this for them. It's a law firm, Jenner and Block, out of Chicago, Illinois. It's not a cheap law firm. So they're going to spend a lot of money to try and defeat this union effort.
If a unionization passes, how many people will be able to join? How many workers have expressed interest and are looking to form this union?
The National Labor Relations Board says you only need 30% to file for an election. Again, the Machinist Union has a much, much higher number than that. We're not planning on taking these people into a losing battle. Again, that's why we asked for voluntary recognition. Out of the 152, I think we will do very well. Our message is getting out there. We're getting a lot of calls, a lot of social media calls. And it's been enjoyable educating people about the power they can have in their own workplace.
Well, Scott Parr, thank you for joining me today and sharing your work with us.
Thank you. Enjoyed my time.
Scott Parr is the Assistant Directing Business Representative for District 10 of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers.